Continuing our series of lessons on the science of the Christian life, tonight I want to teach on the science of the Christian warfare. Galatians chapter 5, please. Verse number 14. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 14. Right after 2 Corinthians, right before Ephesians, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, sound like it's written in the nursery, doesn't it? Take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And this is my text verse. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth, and that word lust means warreth, fights against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we come to the passage that we use Sunday night a great deal. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Our Heavenly Father, we come tonight to study this old wonderful book. We love it. Tonight, I think one of the great truths of it, help me as I teach it and our people as they hear it taught. Please instruct us, encourage us, reprove us, rebuke us, strengthen us, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Holy Father, help us as we study the book to rightly divide the word of truth. I pray you'd help our folks to listen carefully. I believe tonight these scriptures can help them tremendously. Help me to teach it like it ought to be taught, and help them to listen like they ought to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk tonight, and I want you to follow my logic. I'm going to give you 9 different pairs tonight that are opposite to each other. For example, the first one I'll come to after a while is love versus hate. I'm going to give you those 9 different pairs. I'm going to say the same 7 things about all 9 pairs. You say, why don't you just say the 7 things one time, say it applies to the following, let's go home. Because I don't want to. That's why we're going to do it. Because I hate you and I want to torture you all I can. But I do want to talk to you. Now, follow me carefully. Each of us is in a spiritual warfare. The fruit of the Spirit that I mentioned a while ago, like love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance and all that, those are qualities of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible said, please do not take notes now while I'm teaching. I want you to put your pens up. I want you to give me your attention, and I want to talk to you carefully. It's very important. I'll say that again because I want to make it all in one package. The fruit of the Spirit, these listing, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and so forth, are all, each of those is in warfare against the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. The fruit of the Spirit is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. Now, for example, there is a battle going on, don't leave me, a battle going on between love and hate. Love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Hatred is a work of the flesh. Now I want to make 7 statements. People often say, Brother Howes, how can I overcome hatred? You can't. You cannot overcome, or you cannot just overcome hatred. You can't do it. There's no way that you can are you listening to me? There's no way that you can just overcome hatred. You can pray all you want to for God to help you overcome hatred, but you won't overcome hatred. There's no way. Now, I want to give seven statements. I just gave you number seven. I'll come back to it. Number one, love is a greater force than hatred. Now, both of them are strong forces, but love is a greater force than hatred. Number two, because love is of the Spirit and hatred is of the devil. You know what I'm saying? Love is a greater force than hatred. Two, because love is of the Spirit and hatred is of the devil. Number three, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if love is of the Spirit and the Spirit lives in me, and hatred is of the devil, and the devil, then the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That means the Holy Spirit has more power than the devil. That means if that love is an attribute of the Holy Spirit and hatred is an attribute of the devil, love is a greater force than hatred. And that means number four then, so hatred is just... Let me say this. That means that love versus hatred will always... Love will always be victor. Always will. Love never fights hatred and loses because love is the greatest force. I said number one, love is a greater force than hatred. I said number two, it is of the Spirit and hatred is of the devil. I said number three, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if love is of he that is in me, which is the Holy Spirit, is greater than he that is in the world, which is the devil who authors hatred, then love is more powerful than hatred. All right, number four. So hatred is just the absence of love. You can't hate and love. If you hate, that means you don't love. Because love, are you following me? Love dispels hatred. That means that you don't have to overcome hatred. All you have to do, and this is number five, you don't have to overcome hatred. All you have to do is acquire love. If you acquire love, you have overcome hatred because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And love is a more powerful force than hatred. That means number six. Romans 12:21 says, overcome evil with good. Well, love is good. Hatred's bad. So you overcome evil with good. So you don't ask God to give you victory over hatred. You ask God to give you love, and love conquers the hatred. So I said, love is a greater force than hatred. Number two, it is of the Spirit. Hatred is of the devil. Number three, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Number four, so hatred is the absence of love. If you have love, you don't have hatred, because when they cannot coexist, and love always conquers hatred. Number five, then you don't have to overcome hatred. All you have to do is acquire love. Number six, you overcome evil with good. Or number seven, then you will never just overcome hatred. You say, dear God, I have hatred in my soul, take it out. That won't work. You say, I don't have love in my soul, put it in. That works, and that overcomes hatred. Overcome evil didn't say overcome evil with prayer. Didn't say overcome evil with fasting. Didn't say overcome evil with trying. It says overcome evil with good. If you want to conquer hatred, then you love, because love and hatred cannot coexist. All right? Now, follow me carefully. I'm going to tell you something about the difference between psychology and Jesus. Our problem is we're busy trying to get deliverance from hate. And somehow we feel like that here's hatred over here, here's love over here. Okay, I get rid of the hatred. Turn me down just a tad, please. When I ask you to do something, I need you to put the green on so I know if you're doing it. Good. Turn me down just a little bit. All right? Turn me down some more. Did you? All right. We'll practice this after the service. We have the idea if hatred's over here and love is over here, that we come and quit the hatred, and then once you quit the hatred, you come over here and get some love. No, you don't know that at all. You come over here and get love, and love overcomes the hatred. You can't overcome the hatred. Love overcomes the hatred. And that means that love is a more powerful force than hatred. And if you can get love, the hatred is gone and takes care of itself. Now, turn me down just a bit more on this, please. That means
this. If you could overcome hatred without love, then you'd go back. Turn me down, please, on this one right here, would you, please? That little green thing over there? All right. Now then, if you could, perfect, if you could overcome hatred without getting love, there's a vacuum there. See, here you are right here. One's going to come in. Love is going to come in, or hatred's going to come in. If love comes in, hatred can't get in. If hatred comes, the only way you can chase hatred out is get love in, because love will always conquer hatred, because it's a more powerful force than hatred. Now, that's the difference between Christ and psychology. Psychology says work on the hatred. God says work on the love. You go to the psychiatrist and tell him you got hatred, he'll go back to your great-grandfather and how your great-grandfather hated snakes, and the snakes are mean, and they crawl. And by the way, you had an uncle that crawled in the army. He was in the foxhole, and he crawled, and your uncle's fault because he got shot. He got shot. You're afraid you'll get shot. That's why you hate snakes, and because you hate snakes, you got hatred in your heart. That didn't make any sense, did it? Makes as much sense as dumb psychology makes nowadays. I'm saying that you go to the psychologist, and the psychologist says, we got to figure out how to get this hatred out. The truth is, he doesn't know love because he doesn't know Christ. He doesn't know the only thing that can fight against hatred, and that's love. So Christ says, you get love, and love will conquer the hatred, because hatred and love cannot coexist. But the psychologist says, work on the hatred. God says, work on the love. Now follow me carefully. We go down to the second battle going on, and that's joy versus depression. How can I get rid of my depression? You can't just get rid of your depression. Joy is the opposite of depression. And joy, number one, I'll go through the same old outline. Joy is a greater force than depression is. So, since joy is a greater force, joy is of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit. The second, love, then joy. Okay, so joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, and depression is of the devil. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, he that is within you is greater than he that's in the world. So that means if joy is in me, that's of the Spirit. If depression is in me, that's of the devil. But greater is he, that's joy, than he that's in the world, that's depression. So you say, I need to get rid of my depression. I'm going to go to the psychologist, or you may even come to the pastor and try to get rid of depression. But you'll never get rid of your depression to stay till you get joy, because joy is what fights depression. Are you listening to me? That's why you sit out there blue and depressed and downcast and melancholy all the time, because you're trying to get rid of something. But in this matter, you don't get rid of something. You get something that gets rid of it for you, and that something is joy. So I say seven things again. One, joy is greater than depression, a greater force. Two, it is of the Spirit. Depression is of the devil. Three, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Four, then depression is the absence of joy. If you don't have joy, if you're depressed, you don't have joy. So if you get joy, you can't be depressed, because they cannot coexist. And when they fight in the same battleground, then joy always wins, because greater is he that is in you, that's joy, than he that is in the world, that's depression. Now you stand right here, and here you are right here, and all of a sudden you say, I'm gonna get rid of my depression. I'm gonna go over here and get joy. No, you go get joy, and it gets rid of the depression for you. See, what you want to do is go over here and empty out the depression. Now it's empty, and before you get over here, it'll sneak back in, because joy needs to fill the vacuum that's left when depression's gone. And if you get joy in to fight depression, joy will always be in, because joy is the greater force of the two, because joy is the fruit of the Spirit and depression is of the devil. You follow me? All right. That means, number one, joy is greater than depression. Number two, it is of the Spirit. Depression is of the devil. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. And that means nobody in this room has to have depression. I said nobody in this room has to be depressed. And nobody in this room has to get blue. And nobody in this room has to get melancholy. Now, you can't fight it and lose it, because you don't fight depression by fighting depression. You get joy, and the joy is greater force than the depression, and depression cannot stand up against real joy. So that means, number four, depression is the absence of joy. Number five, you don't have to overcome depression. Number six, all you got to do is get joy. Now, if you'll quit trying to fight the depression, tell the stupid psychiatrist to go home and get on a cot somewhere, and you just do what the Bible says to get joy. You get joy, you can't be depressed, but you will never end this way. Oh, God, deliver me from depression. If he did, depression would come back unless the void is filled. You've got to get joy. Boy, that's good. Amen, Brother Hiles. That's really good. Number three, love, joy. What's the next fruit of the Spirit? Peace. All right. You got peace versus strife. And some of you folks need this. I've never understood why Christian people fuss at home. I've never understood why a Christian man and a Christian woman can't get along at home. But I'll tell you why. It's because you're selfish. And some of you boys and girls need to get right with God who fuss at home. I'll tell you something. If you fuss with your brother or sister at home, you are not right with God and you are in sin. You holler at this rock. I'm not kidding either. I'm not kidding. Don't you laugh about something as wicked as a brother and sister fighting with each other. Oh, boy, you can knock rock music and the devil and go home and fuss like the devil with your brother and sister. Now, I will tell you something. You listen to me. But by the way, if some of you moms and dads learn to get along with each other, your kids will learn to get along with each other. They see you fighting, and so they fight. I'm going to tell you this. Strife, peace and strife are enemies of each other, and they cannot coexist. But, number one, peace is a stronger force than strife. Why? Because peace is of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Strife, according to Galatians 5:19-21, strife is of the devil. And greater is he that is in you, that's peace, than he that is in the world, that's strife. Now, strife is just as worldly as R-rated movies. And some of you sanctimonious Pharisees that look down your snoots at rock music players, and rock music is wicked, but I want to tell you something else. You go home and your house is a Korean War reenacted, and your house is a place of hell and arguing, and I won't mind what you did. You know what I need. Why don't you get on your knees and get right with God and get peace in your soul, and peace always conquers strife. All right. I said peace versus strife. Peace is a greater force than strife. Number two, peace is of the Spirit and strife is of the devil. Number three, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and peace come from him that is in you, and strife come from him that is in the world. And that means number four, so strife is the absence of peace. If you don't have peace, if you're not filled with peace, strife rushes in and fills the vacuum or the void left because you don't have peace. Oh, God, give me victory over this bickering at home. Shut up and get over here and say, God, give me peace. And you get peace, you won't bicker at home. Now, I will tell you something. Probably the greatest sin committed by members of this church sitting in this room right now are committed inside the four walls of your houses where you kids can't get along with your brothers and sisters and you husbands can't get along with your wives. And your wives can't get along with your husbands. Why don't you become a good Christian and realize there's a fruit of the Spirit? And by the way, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you can have the victory over strife. Yes, you can. So I said concerning peace versus strife. Peace is a greater force than strife. Two, peace is of the Spirit. Strife is of the devil. Three, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Four, so strife is the absence of peace. Five, so you don't overcome strife, you acquire peace. Five, you overcome strife with peace, and seven, you will never just overcome strife. You will never say, oh God, help me to overcome hatred. You won't do that. Love takes care of that. You won't say, oh God, help me to overcome a depression. You won't do that. Joy is what does that. You won't say, oh, God, help me to get along with my family. Help me to overcome strife. You won't do that. Peace is what takes care of that. And you get love in your heart, hatred will leave. You get joy in your heart, depression will leave. You get peace in your heart and strife will leave. Number four, long-suffering versus patience. Impatience. Long-suffering basically is pretty near to patience. So we have patience versus impatience. All right, hear me again. Just like love is a greater force than hatred and will always win when in conflict, just like joy is a greater force than depression and will always win in conflict, just like peace is a greater force than strife and will always win in conflict, even so patience is a more powerful force than impatience. Why? Because patience is of the Spirit. Through the Spirit. You as dumb as you look. And impatience. I love patience. I love patience. Hurry up and listen to me. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Impatience is the fruit of the flesh. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That means that what belongs to the Spirit will conquer what belongs to the flesh. So you don't walk over, oh God, help me to quit being so impatient. You don't do that. You go over here and you say, God, help me be patient. Because you cannot just get rid of impatience. You've got to get patience, and patience will always conquer impatience. Some of you howls under the preacher voice. If I was preaching against Hollywood tonight, you'd be talking in tongues. But you go home and live like the devil with your wife and can't get along with your wife, no wonder you don't say amen. You know why? Because you're as hard to get along with as the devil himself. And I want to tell you something. Don't you talk about being a good Christian. And don't you teenagers talk about being good Christians. You can't get along with your younger brothers and sisters or older brothers and sisters. There needs to be a revival in First Baptist Church of Hammond of getting along with people who live in the same house with us. I made this statement the other day in my Sunday school class on two occasions. My sister up there, the person in this room more qualified to decide what kind of Christian I am is that lady right there. That's my sister. Now, the reason that she's more qualified is that every other relationship in life, you want something from them. You want something from your mother so you can be good to get it. You want something from your dad so you can be good to get it. You want some loving from your children so you can be good to them to get some loving, get some fun. You want something from your wife, you can be good to her and to get it. You want something from your husband, and you be good to your husband to get it. But ain't nobody wants nothing from their sister. I mean, so consequently, there's no way that I can be good. When she is at home, especially. We lived in the same house one time, and ain't nothing I want her to do except leave. Happiest day of my life, the day I got saved. Second happiest day of my life was the day I got discharged in the Army. Third happiest day of my life was the day she left home and got married. Let's reverse those. But I'm trying to tell you something. You boys and girls, boy, you're good soul winners, and boy, you make A in Bible at school, but you're a lousy Christian if you fuss at home with your brothers and sisters. I am sick up to here of counseling with couples who are supposed to be Christians, who claim they're born again, who claim they have a new nature, who claim the Holy Spirit lives in their bodies, who claim they're redeemed, who claim they're heaven-bound, that go home and fight like cats and dogs. What you need to do is get on your knees and ask God to give you peace. And you walk down this aisle, get on your knees and say, oh God, I pray you to help me to overcome this strife. You can do that until the world is oblong, but you're not going to overcome strife alone. You're going to have to get peace, and peace fights strife for you and kicks strife away. Boy, your feet are big. We're going to have to lengthen this platform or get a new choir director, one or the other. Patience. Patience is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Impatience is a part of the devil. Greater is he that is in me, that's the Spirit, than he that is in the world, that's the devil, which means that the patience of him who's in me and the impatience of him who's in the world, patience can always have the victory. But I want to tell you something. If you don't want to hate, get love. If you don't want to be depressed, get joy. If you don't want to have strife and warfare, get peace. If you don't want to have impatience, get patience. It is the presence of the positive that dispels the negative, because greater is he who is a possessor of the positive than he who possesses the negative. Now let's go to gentleness versus unkindness. Gentleness is a greater force than unkindness. I think I'll use the word kindness there as a synonym for gentleness. Kindness is a greater force than unkindness. Unkindness is the absence of kindness. And you can't be neutral. You'll be unkind or kind, because if kindness does not occupy you, unkindness will come and fill the void. But here's what it amounts to. When unkindness comes and says, I want in, unkindness ought to say, I can't find any place to be, because he's full of kindness. And when hatred comes and says, I want in, hatred ought to say, I can't find any place to get in, because he's already full of love. And when, oh, I'm sorry, it's your feet and your stomach sticking out here. Okay, folks. Abstinence is an absence of drunkenness. Depression comes and says, I want to get in. And depression can't find a way to get in, because joy has already got you full. Now you're not, listen, you ought to be so full of joy, depression can't find its way in. And so full of love, hatred can't find its way in. And so full of peace that wrath can't, and strife can't find its way in. And so full of patience that impatience can't find its way in. And what are we on now? So full of kindness that unkindness can't find. Listen, you let me take one trip on an airplane and not be kind, and I'll promise you I'll be a grouch in 24 hours. And that's why you are. Because unkindness comes and says, I want in. And if the kindness is not already there, unkindness will have a habitation. But unkindness ought to say, I can't find my way in. Kindness is already there. And kindness is a greater force than unkindness. So, that means that kindness is a greater force than unkindness. That means because kindness is of the Spirit and unkindness is of the devil. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, which means kindness. The Holy Spirit's in me, and he's kindness. And the devil's out in the world, and he is unkindness, and greater is he in the world, kindness, than he that is in me, than he that is in the world, unkindness. And that means that kindness is a more powerful force than unkindness, because kindness is of the Spirit, unkindness of the devil. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And before, so unkindness is the absence of kindness. Best way in the world for me to keep from being unkind is to be kind. I walk up to the counter, and the little lady says there at the desk of the airline, she says, Dr. Hiles, your flight is overbooked, and you don't get on the flight. And as I said one time, when unkindness won the battle, it didn't have to win. I said, ma'am, I know it's not your fault. It really is somebody's fault in the office. It may be the vice president's fault. It may be the president's fault. I know it's not your fault. But since you're the only employee of United Airlines that I'm talking to right now, you're going to get it. But, watch me carefully. I walk up there, take my ticket out. Good morning. How are you this morning? Fine. Well, you look like you're happy this morning. How's business? Well, business pretty good. Well, I'm the epitome of kindness. She says, this flight's oversold and you've been knocked off the flight. Well, I can't change that kindness. I've already established myself as being kind. So I can't be unkind. She thinks I'm kind. I can't. I don't want to destroy her confidence in me. I've laid the foundation and been kind. But see, here you are. You walk up there and you'll grouch anyway. Yeah, come on. Sorry, you're overbooked. Now you listen to me. See there? Now you listen to me. This is not really exciting preaching. And the reason it's not really exciting preaching is there's nobody left to say amen. But But you trot yourself down the altar and say, oh, I've been unkind. Oh, God, forgive me for unkindness. Won't you trot yourself down the altar and say, Holy Spirit, give me kindness. And kindness will fight the battle for you. You don't have to fight unkindness. Kindness will do that for you. You don't have to fight hatred. Love will take care of that. You don't have to fight depression. Joy will take care of that. You haven't got to fight microphones. I'm trying to tell you to be patient. All but during Bible school. Let's go to the next one. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness. Goodness. Good is a greater force than bad. Because goodness is of the Spirit, and badness is of the flesh. Which means that 1 John 4:4 still says, greater is he that is in you, that's he who has goodness, than he who is in the world, that's he who has badness. Now, that's what Romans said. Paul went to Romans and said, overcome evil with good. He didn't say overcome evil with prayer. You can pray until your face is like an angel. You folks in Bible school laughing out there. You know what an angel's face looks like? Gorbachev. Angel came out here in Bible school yesterday. Angel had a birthmark on his head up here and his little bald head up here and his fly. But it was real angel. These kids tried to tell me it was the devil, but I knew it was an angel. I know an angel when I see one. Always has a birthmark on his head and looks like Gorbachev. I forgot what I was going to say. I'm saying, if you want to overcome bad, you fill your life with good, and bad is overcome. But you don't fill your life with good, then you have become a vacuum, a void, where bad can find entrance. But if you're so busy doing good, you won't have time to do bad, and bad, good will always conquer bad. Because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world, and good is of the Spirit, and bad is of the devil, and the Spirit is in you, and the bad is in the world, and that means that you can overcome. You cannot overcome hatred unless you fill your life with love. You cannot overcome depression unless you fill your life with joy. You cannot overcome strife unless you fill your life with peace. You cannot overcome impatience unless you fill your life with patience. You cannot overcome unkindness unless you fill your life with kindness. And you cannot overcome whatever we're talking about right now until you fill your life with the opposite of whatever we're talking about right now. Next, faith versus doubt. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a greater force than doubt. See what I said? You cannot have faith and doubt in a warfare and doubt win. Why? Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Doubt is of the devil. Which means greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, which means greater is faith than doubt. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, greater is the Holy Spirit than the devil is. And if faith is of the Holy Spirit and doubt is of the devil, there's no way that doubt will ever conquer faith. So what you got to do, you got to have so much faith. Doubt comes and says, I want to get in. And doubt tries to find a way in, but you're full of faith. And bad comes and says, I want to find a way in. But bad can't find a way in because you're doing good so much. Unkindness says, let me in here. But there's no place to go because you're already full of kindness. Strife, fussing at home, can't get along with people. Bitterness comes and says, let me in. He can't find a way in because peace has already filled you up. And depression says, let me in. But depression can't find a way in because joy is already filling up the void. There's no place to live. The house is full. Now, what am I saying? You listen to what I'm saying. Nobody in this room can ever again say truthfully, I cannot help but be depressed. And nobody can ever say, I cannot overcome this hatred. And nobody can ever say, I can't overcome this strife. But you say, Brother Hiles, I'll tell you what, I've got a bad balance of hormones. Or I'm a woman, I'm 50 years of age. I'm going through the change of life, which makes your husband want to go through the change of wife. That's pretty good, wasn't it? That's what my Bible says. Greater is he that is in you between birth and 35 and between 65 and death than he that is in the world. But you say, Brother Hiles, I've got high blood pressure. I'm high strong. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care if you've got high blood pressure, your biorhythm is off, your pulse rate's terrible, you're overweight, you're too fat, you're too short. I don't care if you've got high blood pressure, high pulse rate, low biorhythm, cholesterol count's 1,274. Bible's still true. And you can overcome hatred with the most powerful force, love. And you can overcome depression with the more powerful force, joy. And you can overcome fussing and fuming and strife with the more powerful force, peace. And you can overcome impatience with the more powerful force, patience. And you can overcome unkindness with the more powerful force, kindness. And you can overcome badness with the more powerful force, goodness. And you can overcome doubt with the more powerful force, faith. And the same amount of all of these is available to every one of us. And you have no right to say that your circumstances make it so you can't win, because you have the Holy Spirit in you that I have in me. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And greater are those qualities that he has, and they're in you, than he that is in the world. And in every case, you can win the victory in the warfare. Next one. Meekness and pride. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Which means, and pride is a work of the devil. Greater is he that is in you, Spirit, who gives meekness, than he that is in the world, the devil, who gives pride. Which means that meekness and pride cannot coexist, but meekness will always conquer pride, because it's a greater force than pride. Because it's a Holy Spirit force instead of a worldly satanic force. Which means meekness is a greater force. Meekness is of the Spirit. Pride is of the devil. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you, the Spirit, with its meekness, or his meekness, than he that is in the world, Satan, with his pride. That means then that pride is the absence of meekness. When you have meekness, you can't have pride. Because, you said, Brother Hiles, now, wait a minute. You mean if I'm meek, I never can get proud? No. It means that you can lose some meekness and make room for some pride to come in. But you have, coming into your body when you got saved was the Holy Spirit. Every fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit, all nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit, are more powerful than their opponents. And put any one of the nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit up against its opposite characteristic, and it is a more powerful force, and it can dispel its enemy. You know, we fundamentalists get criticized an awful lot for the fact that we're just against a few things. We're against men wearing long hair. We're against women wearing pants. And now I'm against both those things. We're against mixed women. We're against Hollywood movies. We're against this and this and this and this and this. Why doesn't somebody get against pride? Why doesn't somebody get against fussing? You men. You went to that little thing, got on your knees and asked her to come with you, to leave her mother and father, to leave and cleave and leave her mother and father and come with you. And she gave up her mother, her father, her home, her church, her family, her neighborhood, her brothers, her sisters, her uncles, her aunts, her grandparents. She gave all that up just for you. and you took her from all that, and you made her live through hell, and you ought to, and you're going to answer to God Almighty just like a dope head is. And some of you ladies put your husband through hell. He thought he married an angel, married a fallen angel. Your husband took you for his own. And you promised him at the altar a few things. And if you don't get your way, you're going to let him have it. What you need to do is become a decent Christian. And some of you boys and girls, and some of you teenagers, we say, brothers and sisters, we'll fuss. Heathen brothers and sisters will. Backslidden brothers and sisters will. Unspiritual brothers and sisters will. But I want to tell you something. You came down to the aisle when you were 5, 6 years old and said you got saved. If you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in you to live. And you can have the same victory over fussing with your brothers and sisters that your mom and dad can over fussing with each other. Number nine, temperance versus overindulgence. Temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. Temperance is a more powerful force than overindulgence. That means that overindulgence comes over here and says, I want to get in. And temperance is already filling up the place. And overindulgence can't find a place to get in. And by the way, I'm talking about any overindulgence. You can overindulge in golf. You can overindulge in food, which is not a sin. Right? We're going to preach the truth, huh?
Amen.
You can overindulge. Yours is thyroid trouble. Too much food goes past his thyroid. Temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. Overindulgence is a fruit of the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Which means that the only way in the world you're ever going to overcome overindulgence is with temperance. Now the question comes, and I'll close with this. How do you obtain these? I'll tell you how you obtain them. You know how I lost my weight? I lost 65 pounds. You know how I lost it? I went down to North Carolina, preached for a fellow in Greensboro. He had just lost 90 pounds. Not in one day. Last time I saw that fellow, he was a blimp. Next time I saw him, he was a shrimp. That's pretty good, isn't it? I'm going to write a book, From Blimp to Shrimp. You can write one from shrimp to blimp, but anyway. You can write one from shrimp to shrimp. Jorgensen can, I mean. These fellows on the platform, they go through it, but they get paid for going through it. I stayed with this guy, I preached for him for 3 days. All he talked about was his diet, how he had lost his weight. I came home and I said, I believe I can do that. Now, what caused my diet? Running with a fella who had just lost 90 pounds. How are you going to get over your strife? You don't run with people that fuss. How are you going to get over your depression? You don't hang around folks that are depressed. Of course, the main one that you hang around is the one who's the author of all of these, the Holy Spirit. So you walk in the Holy Spirit and yield to Him many times a day and recognize His presence and walk with Him. But you're not going to hang around these long-tongued gossips. And overcome your strife. Some of you folks ought to change your friends. And some of those friends you ought to change are right here tonight. Negative people. Depressed people. You say, how are you going to help them if they're not, if they don't run around with the depressed? Don't forget my little deal. One mono plus no mono equal two monos. If a guy's got mononucleosis, you don't kiss him to make him well. I went down to the camp, Randy Taylor's camp the other day. Everybody had been down there all summer just about had stomach trouble. I mean stomach flu or some bug. And
And I got a whole covey of them. But I went down there and I said, look, let me breathe upon you real close. I'll make you well. Let me drink you a glass of water with you, and you'll get feeling better. Well, how are you going to get them well if you don't drink your water? How are you going to get them well if you don't breathe on them? No, you don't do that. One mono plus no mono equal two mono. One gossip plus one ungossip equal two gossip. The old story, you've heard it all your life. I've told it to you the first and third Wednesday nights of every month. Fellow was sitting on a bridge, going to jump off. End it all. Fellow walked up and said, hold it, what you going to do? She said, yeah, I'm jumping off. End it all. He said, give me 10 minutes to talk to you. I can't talk you out of it, you wouldn't jump. They talked 5 minutes and they both jumped. And that's your cotton-picking trouble. You've been hanging around a bunch of influences, and I don't care who you are. As I said before, sometime in a sermon recently, you will be tomorrow the friends you have today. So if you want to overcome hatred, you don't work on the hatred, you work on the love. And you hang around folks that love, and you walk in the Spirit, because He is the one who is the author, giver of love, the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to overcome depression, you don't take ha-ha pills. Go to some dumb psychiatrist. This is where you overcome depression. No, you don't overcome depression. He doesn't know anything about it because he doesn't know the opposite. And if he could, if you go over here and a psychiatrist could help you overcome depression, if he could, he has no joy to take its place. By the time you get home, that void is... depression's caught up with you, and that void is filled again. But you come over here and fill your life with the love of Christ and joy and patience and peace and gentleness and goodness and kindness and meekness and temperance. I'll promise you this. You'll win the battle against all those negatives, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In every case, the force, a positive force, is more powerful force than the negative force. Because the positive force is of the Spirit and the negative force is of the devil. And because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the negative force is nothing more than the absence of the positive force. And you don't overcome the negative force, you acquire the positive force. You overcome evil with good, so you will never just overcome the negative force. You acquire the positive force. I'm too happy to be sad. I love too much to hate. I spend too much time doing good to do a bunch of evil. I spend too much time being kind to be unkind. Now, there's another negative thing, and that's a business meeting. I don't know how to overcome it.